We read, brethren, Numbers 10:29. It says as follows, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law." Here's what Moses said to this man. "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Brethren, the title of the lesson today, I sometimes give a title, a caption to the lesson to help it stick in my mind and maybe in yours. Here it is, "Come thou with us." It's an invitation. Four words in the lesson today, the title of the lesson, "Come thou with us." This week earlier, I was reading in the book of Numbers, my Old Testament reading, and one day this week I read this, and I have it underlined in my Bible. Anlin, have I preached this here before? You're supposed to know. You're supposed to know. Anlin, I have heard keep remarks and that what I preach on, and I do that. I do that. I write down the church and the date, and I have written in my margin a church, not this one, and the date. The date was 2/26/12 that I preached on this. And when I read this verse this week earlier, it was very familiar to me. And of course, I saw that I had underlined, and I saw that I had preached on it, and I thought that I had maybe preached it here. It just seemed kind of fresh on my mind. But maybe it's just that I read it fairly recently before this week. But if I have, it bears coming back to, and I won't preach it just like I did before if I have here. God's Spirit will lead me maybe into new things. But God bless us as we read it together. "Come thou with us." It's an invitation. And it just, as I read this week and in years gone by, when I read this verse, it's just, I text Sister Jane this morning and I said, "Can we sing today? Would you please play Marching to Zion?" That hymn starts out, "Come we that love the Lord." Come together. Come with me. "Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known." We're marching through Emmanuel's ground, it says. And Moses says, we are journeying. We're marching. We're going to a place. And he invites this man to come with him. Let me give you a little background as I understand the background to this verse. Numbers is the book. When I said this morning, turn to the book of Numbers, maybe you gave a little sigh or a groan. I don't know, but Numbers is Numbers, and there's numbers in here, and you read the verse of the tribe of so-and-so, there were this many, and that's numbers. That's how this particular book got its name. There's more in here than just about numbers, though. Proof is, we just read a very beautiful verse. But the book gets it from the numbers. God says at the very beginning of this book, turn to chapter 1, verse 1, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. They're in their second year out from Egypt. And so early on, God says, give me some numbers. Here's what he says in chapter 1, verse 1 and following. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt." And he says this, "Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies." So that's kind of the genesis of the name there of this book. I read in a commentary that this book covers about 30, I believe it's 38 years of the children of Israel. A lot of the history there. They're journeying to the promised land. They're camped in the wilderness. They're, if I understand it correctly, they're at Sinai. They're about to leave there. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. When it stayed, they stayed. Sometimes I think it was a day or two. Sometimes it was months. It might have been more. It might have been years. But they stayed. They moved in according to God's leadership. Moses is their leader. They're in their second year. If I understand it correctly, Jethro, who was also known as Reuel or Raguel, had more than one name. Moses' father-in-law had come to him in the wilderness. And he gave him some of that good advice about appointing judges to help him. Moses was overworked and run ragged with trying to lead and make decisions, be a judge, be a leader. And his father-in-law gave him some good advice, and Moses took it. It was a lesson in that. But this verse says that Moses talks to a man named Hobab, and he's the son of Moses' father-in-law. That would make him this man and Moses' brothers-in-law. There's some discussion about whether Moses is talking to his father-in-law or his brother-in-law. Doesn't matter to me. I take it as it's written. It says that he says to this man Hobab, who's the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, and this is what he says: "Come with us. Come thou with us." That's the invitation. Let's look at the verse now for background, brethren. Who's speaking? Moses, God's man. Moses, he wasn't just any man, Moses. He was a prince in Egypt. He was the one that was born at a time when there was an edict of the Pharaoh, the king, to kill all male children. He survived that because God was with him. He was put in the ark, remember, made out of rushes. He was put in there. The history. Pharaoh's daughter came down, finds him. The baby, has her maid open it up. The baby's crying, which would touch the heart of any woman worth her anything. And she feels sorry for the baby. She takes him in. God works so that his own mama is his nurse. And she gets paid for it, for heaven's sake. God is working. He grows up. He kills an Egyptian because the Egyptian is beating on an Israelite. He has to flee. He spends 40 years, if I'm not mistaken, in learning the ways. He's a prince of Egypt. He spends 40 years on the backside of the desert or away from Egypt because he's fearful for his life. 40 years later, God comes and makes himself known to him in the burning bush. And he says, "Go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You're going to lead them out." And he spends the last 40 years of his life in the wilderness leading the people. What? That's the man we're talking about. A great man. This isn't just a happenstance here. This is Moses. And Moses says to his brother-in-law, this is what he says: "We are journeying." He's talking to his brother-in-law, and this is what he says: "We are journeying. We're on a journey here. We're going to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you." Well, what place was that, brethren? Canaan, the land of Canaan. Land flowing with milk and honey. But we're on a journey. "Come thou with us." Join us on the journey. I want to talk to you today mainly about the journey. Mainly about the journey, rather than the destination of it being Canaan land, the land flowing with milk and honey. I want to talk to you about that journey and a parallel of what the Canaan land stands for. Brethren, you may agree with me, you may not. If you don't, let's talk about it. But I want to tell you what I see. One thing, let me go on before I get on that. "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Join in with us. It'll be good for you. We'll do you good. And frankly speaking, there's a reciprocity there. The ones doing good get good done to them. I think it's in Proverbs that says, "He that watereth shall be watered himself." I love that scripture. We'll do you good. And it'll be good for us. Four. Why? How can I say that? How can Moses say this? Make this promise, this promise for because the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And God, brethren, who cannot lie, has said, I've got something good for you down the road, down this road you're journeying on. There's good at the end of it. Brethren, there's good in the traveling of it, in the journey. There's good in the journey. I've said to you before, here's an aside, I've said to you before, you all know I like to ride my motorcycle. And I'm a brand person. I'm a brand. To me, there's only one. And don't, hope it don't offend anybody. But you know how that is, how I can be. And that company that I like so much, and those bikes I like so much, they've got a saying, and it may be across the brands for all I know, but they say it's not the destination, it's the journey. That company wants to get you out there riding. That's what they want to do. Well, it's good to arrive at your destination and have fun and do things, but it's the ride. It's the ride. And I want to say to you, brethren, about this journey right here, it is the destination, and that's important, brethren. But along the way, there's great joy to be had. There's wonderful blessings in the journey. I want to say to you that many parallels are drawn between the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness, out of bondage, through the wilderness and into the land of Canaan, as that being a picture or a type or parallel of us being brought out of the bondage of sin and death into the eternal heaven when we die. And that is a picture, and that is a lesson. And I don't want to discount that or take anything away from that. But that, brethren, that bringing us out of bondage and into the eternal heaven is done by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross. And that only. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that only. Nothing but the blood of Jesus does that. So we don't have a work in that. You and I don't have any work in that. We can't work for it, not by works of righteousness which we have done or will do or try to do, but by His blood He saved us. But there is a Canaan land. There is a Canaan land that, brethren, we can enter into, and it's the journey. It's along our journey as we journey in life. We are journeying. You are journeying, brethren. And I want to talk to you today about the journey, and I want to say, come with us. Come with those, join up with those that are on that journey right there. It's a journey into heaven, but it's the kingdom of heaven. This morning in Bible study, we got to talking about heaven, and somebody said about that third heaven that Paul was caught up to. And we believe, as far as I know, all of us believe that that's the heaven that we go to when we die. But then someone else said, there's a heaven on earth, and I certainly agree with that. And that's the one I want to talk with you about. And Jesus talked a lot about it. And the New Testament writers talk a lot about it. And it's called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. I think the terms are used interchangeably. And this week, when I read this verse, I've got to study that more. I've got to think about it more. And I've got to preach about that on Sunday. I want to bring that lesson that as far as I know, the last I preached on it was in 2012. Okay, now I want to say to you, brethren, I want to say to you that Abraham, you know, we're studying Hebrews on Sunday night, and we have talked some about Abraham. And I want to tell you in that 11th chapter of Hebrews that we haven't gotten to yet. I can't wait till we get there. I'm anxiously journeying there, looking forward to that when we get there, arriving at 11. But let me just give you a foretaste, brethren, of what we're going to see when we get to chapter 11. Abraham and the old patriarchs, brethren, they looked for the place that you and I can be in today. They looked for that. I don't think they experienced it like we can experience it. Because John the Apostle said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven, the new Jerusalem, the new one. They saw the old one. And they saw some things, but brethren, I don't think they can experience like we can. But let me read to you here. chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, God called him to embark upon a journey, brethren. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now get this. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, Abraham, brethren, was looking for that. He was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for the old Jerusalem. He was looking for the new one. And Revelation chapter 21, John the Apostle saw through the eye of faith, brethren, he saw that new Jerusalem. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. We talked a lot about the old heaven, the new heaven, the Jewish dispensation, the law dispensation. And John says, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I interpret that to be a gulf. A gulf is a sea. A gulf separates. You can't get across it. But brethren, there's no more sea. There's no more gulf between God and man. Because Christ Jesus has the veil of the temple has been torn, ripped, divided from top to bottom. And now we can enter into the holy place. He's made us kings and priests. We can enter in by the work, through the work, as a result of the work of Christ Jesus. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Many people say the church is the kingdom of heaven. I won't argue with that. I'll tell you what. I'm in the kingdom of heaven when I'm in church so many, many times. When I'm up here and I've studied and the Holy Spirit is blessing me to preach and say things and see things. Brethren, that's the kingdom of heaven and it happens to be in the church. But it can be also outside the church, brethren. If I'm serving God and I'm close to God, it can be on the street corner. It can be. But it certainly ought to be here. It ought to be here. I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. We just read about that. God came to that tabernacle in the wilderness and he spoke to Moses and he said this. That was in the first verse or two of the first chapter. They had that tabernacle. And brethren, you and I couldn't go in there. The man on the street, the Israelite, we couldn't go in there. We didn't have access to it. But you know, in the New Jerusalem, brethren, God says this, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, it's new, brethren, it's new. John said, a voice said behind him, behold, I make all things new. It's new, brethren. It's new to us. We can enjoy it. And when I read this week, brethren, and Moses said, we're journeying, and come on, go with us. Come go with us. When I was a boy, my daddy, my granddaddy, they would say, come go with us to somebody. I was just a little boy hearing them. And they'd say to their friend, come go with us. Join us, join us. We are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I will give it you. We're going to the land of Canaan. God says he'll give it to us. But I want to say to you, brethren, God, The eternal heaven is given to you. You don't earn it. You can't work for it. It's given to you. It's the gift of God. The kingdom of heaven, brethren, it's given to you also. The word of God says, fear not, little flock. It's his pleasure, good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. But brother, you got to work your way into the kingdom of heaven. You got to work to get in it. It takes faith and works. Faith and works. I heard a preacher say this week on the radio about that Charles Spurgeon was asked one time by some know-it-all. He said, would you reconcile faith and works? Faith and works. And Spurgeon said, is reported to have said, I don't need to reconcile friends. Faith and works has been falling out with each other. They don't compete with each other. You got to have both. They work along at the same time. Faith, you got to have a measure of faith given to you, and you got to have the faith to use that, and you got to have works, both. You got to have both, brethren, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God says that the way that leads to destruction on that journey is broad. It's a broad way, and many go up and down that road, or down that road, to destruction. Jesus says it leads to destruction. But the way into the kingdom, brethren, is straight and narrow. It's narrow, and few there be that find it. And I want to tell you, brethren, you gotta work for that. You gotta have the faith of God. You gotta have eyes to see it. But you also got to be obedient to God. You got to work to get in there. And if the kingdom of God is the church, that's great. I don't think it's only the church, but it most assuredly is the church. But brethren, here's the thing about we said this morning in Bible study, who is the church anyway? What is the church? And we got it right. We said the church is the people of God that are called out. It's the born again children of God. It's us. It's not the building. It's us serving God together. And that's what I see, brethren, when I read, come thou with us and we will do thee good. Our Bible study lesson this morning, I didn't read it until this morning early. I already had my sermon ready, but I read it and I said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Because Brother Greg Phillips said in his Bible study lesson, many of the same things that I'm thinking of in this sermon right here. Outreach. The outreach of the church was the name of the lesson. And it was about us reaching out to one another in the church and then beyond. And what is Moses doing right here? What is he doing? Come thou with us. He's reaching out to his brother-in-law and says, come on, go with us. Come with us and we'll do thee good. I thought about that in the context of the church. The New Testament church, we studied Acts, didn't we? We took a long time in the last year or so studying the book of Acts and that New Testament church. And you know, one of the things it says, I won't turn to it and I can't quote it exactly, but it says that nobody looked on the things that he had as his own, but they shared them with one another. And where there was a need, it didn't mean they were socialists and they just divided up everything equally among everybody, even if you didn't need it. What it says is where there was a need, nobody said, well, that's mine, I'm not parting with it. They parted with it where there was a need. They did good to one another. Come with us and we will do thee good. Brethren, our responsibility in this local body right here is to do good to one another. And I'm not going to give you a laundry list of what that means. May mean something good you can do that I don't think of or can't do or won't do. But we're to do good to one another. We will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. God has spoken. There's a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom on this earth right here. And brethren, we're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're in it. When we're obedient, when we have faith and works working together, when we're serving God, we're in it. And it is the church. It is the obedient church of Christ that has Jesus Christ as the head. It is that. But it's also, brethren, it's also outside the church. When you see your neighbor raking the yard and you go out and talk to him, you say, come with us. Come with me. Come join me in church Sunday. Come join me. Let's go sing praises to God. Let's go worship God. Come with me. Or you see your friend who's traveling the broad way. And you say, come with me. Get off that Broadway. Do you know that a whole generation of these people right here that were counted up in the book of Numbers, they died in the wilderness. They died in their sins. They never made it to the promised land. Canaan. Now, if Jesus died for them, they made it to heaven, no question about it. But they never made it. They missed the joy. Because of unbelief, I read the last thing I read in Numbers was where Moses sent out the 12 spies. And 10 of them, they all came back, and 10 of them said, "We cannot do it. Those are giants over there. We can't do it." And 2 of them said, "We can do it. Yes, we can." That was Joshua and Caleb. And as far as I know, brethren, they're the only two, other than that very young generation, that made it into the Canaan land. Because, brethren, they didn't have faith nor works. They had to have faith, and they had to have works to get there, to occupy that land. And so I want to say to you, brethren, and I'm not in the kingdom of heaven as long or as often as I should be. But when I study and when I do what I'm supposed to do, and I do good for others, brethren, I get this feeling of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's not a self-righteous feeling either. That's not the kingdom of heaven. It's righteousness of Christ and the peace that passes all understanding. And it's joy in the Holy Spirit when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And brethren, I need to be there. I need to be there, and you need to be there. And I want to say to you, you're on a journey, whether you like it or not. You're on a journey. You can journey the broad way, or you can journey the narrow way. It's your decision. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, "I will give it to you." He'll give you the kingdom of heaven, brethren, if you'll be faithful and obedient. Come thou with us. And so I want to say to you, brethren, we need to say to each other, we need to serve God, and we need to exhort one another and say, "Come with me. Come go with me. Let's serve God together. Let's do it." We certainly need to say it to one another in this place, but we also need to exhort others outside this place. As Brother Greg wrote this morning about the outreach of the church, as the Spirit leads you and shows you occasions and individuals where you might say, "Come with me. Come with me." Each step I take, the Savior goes before me. He guides me. He goes with me. When my faith begins to waver, when I see a chasm, I turn and look upon my Savior. I'm strong when He's by my side. I trust in God no matter come what may. He holds the key that opens up the way. He holds, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Oh, brethren, come with me. Paul the Apostle said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Brethren, come with me as and only if I'm in the kingdom. I want you to be with me. I want to be with you. When I get on the Broadway, brethren, when I get on it, and I do get on it, I hope you'll say, "Brother Mike, come with me. Come with me." Have you ever been in a class before and somebody's showing out, and the teacher says, come with me. Come with me just a minute." Sometimes they grab you by the collar. When in my day, they grab you and say, "Come with me, you're coming with me." But brethren, when somebody's in the error of their way, and somebody wiser and loving and obedient to God says, "Can I have a word with you? Come with me. There's a better way than this right here." Brethren, oh God, bless us to do that. And bless you to do that for me when I get in the broad way. And I hope I'll exhort you, brethren, if you're in the broad way, and I know it, and the Holy Spirit is directing me, I'll say, come with me, come with me. Let's go up to the house of the Lord. There's a better way. Oh, Father in heaven, bless us to know we're on that journey. And we want to press on the upward way. We want to press in and walk in the narrow way. Father, guide us and give us grace to do that. Oh, Father, may we join together, walking together in the entering into the straight and narrow way that leads to life and life more abundant. Oh God, Jesus came, He says, that we might have life, and we do have it. And He came that we might have it more abundantly. May we have that abundant life. May we claim it. May we work toward it. May we press into the kingdom of God. May we join together, Lord, in this place right here and out of this place. I beg, Lord, give us insight and direction and strength and courage to do it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. That name above every name. Amen.